Surat Elokim comes after Shar HaBechina. Shar HaBechina is wonderful to learn, very enjoyable. Shar HaBechina speaks about recognizing Tova Tabore, recognizing the beauty in nature. And there's a difference between when you recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu through nature and when you recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the Torah. When you recognize Hashem through nature, then you can see there's a master creator. You can understand there must be some major plan that's going on behind. And you can see that it's beautiful, that it must be Hashem. But you don't know exactly what Hashem wants from you. When you see how perfectly everything works out and it's beautiful, you say, Hashem must exist. But then what? What do you do with that? Where do you go with that? You could in theory be not Jewish at all and have that same recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu behind all the nature and still have no idea of where to take it to or what to do with it. It could take you to a place of great appreciation of Hashem, but it won't bring you to a place of knowledge of what specifically what Hashem wants from you. And for that you need Torah, which is giving you much clearer direction in the will of Hashem of what He wants from you. So Shar HaBechina is beforehand, we're not learning that together, but that's where he goes through recognizing Tova Tabria, recognizing all what HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into nature and recognizing how perfect the whole system is. And if you already have an understanding of Torah Hashkafa, then you can look at nature and recognize Torah principles, how they come out in the world. But it's very challenging to learn Torah principles without knowing them ahead of time, just from nature. The Gemara does say that if we wouldn't be instructed on certain mitzvot, we'd be able to learn them from the animals. And the Gemara goes through diligence from ants, and it goes through tzniyos from a cat, it goes through certain things. But at the same time, the reason why we're able to know them is primarily because we know they're in the Torah first, and then we see, oh, Hashem also put them in nature, it works backwards. Otherwise, you may want to learn from wild animals who are chayot torfot, that if you want a nice tasty lunch, you can go and kill somebody. How do you know what part of nature you're supposed to be learning from? Only when you really know Torah principles, then you can look at nature and bring out those principles. And the next chart that comes afterwards, after you've recognized HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you've seen the goodness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done for you, comes Shar Avodat Elokim, which is Kabbalat Avodat El Hashem, where you're coming to understand and recognize what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from you. Mehanachon leva'er ba'atzat ha-shar hazeh et ha'ofanim ha-shirim shel tovot she'b'nei adam mitzivim zeh lezeh. So he says, in order for us to recognize what Hashem does for us and what we're doing for Hashem, let's first give a parable with how people relate to each other. Ketatem chayvim lakir tova avuran. How do people relate to one another when they do good for one another, and what emotion does that awaken within them? An emotion of the feeling of gratitude towards the person who's done you a favor. And once we're able to understand that, we'll be able to apply that then to Hashem. Kol mi sheitiv lanu, anu chayvim laodot lo ba'otam mida ashur itkaven la'azor lanu. When someone tries to help us, either they do help us or they wanted to help us, if it's coming from an authentic place, not a place of trying to get something out of us, sometimes someone offers to help you, but the whole goal is that they want something in return. It was not an authentic giving. So we're talking here about an authentic giving. When someone genuinely cares, and they're genuinely trying to help you and they're doing good for you, then according to the degree of how much they go out of their way for you, then you have a sense of HaKadosh Baruch Hu back to them. If you ask someone for direction and they just say, I don't even know who you are, and they walk off, you won't feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu towards them. They say, sure, one second, I'm in a rush, but I'll pause just to make it clear because it's a bit complicated, and they give you very clear instructions, you'll have HaKadosh Baruch Hu for them. If they say, I'll take you there, it's a bit complicated, let me take you door to door, you'll have an even greater sense of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The more they've gone out of their way, the greater level of good they've done for you, it awakens in your heart a sense of wanting to give them thanks. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. וגם אם למעשה נבצר מאותו להיטיב לנו, בגלל איזו סיבה שמנעה אותו מכך, אנו חייבים להודות לו על כוונתו הטובה. Even if at the end of the day that person was willing to go out of their way. Let's say, for example, let's say, that same story I just gave, someone was about to walk you the whole way, like, you don't have to, no, I want to, it's fine, you'll get lost otherwise. And then just as that happens, someone pulls up and says, oh, I came to pick you up. So you will still have the same level of a cut off to that first person who you know was willing to walk out of their way to take you to where you wanted to go to, even if in the end you don't need it. Even if in the end you had some lift to take you all the way, you'll still have that level of a cut off. Because we know that he had the intention to help us that way.
אלא שלא הייתה באפשרותו להוציא את זה לפועל. וכן להפך, אם יצא לנו טובה על ידי מישהו שלא התכוון לטבענו, פוצרים לנו להודות לו. And so too, if we, if someone did us a favor, but they didn't intend to do us a favor, for example, if someone opened the door and they put some heavy bag down there, they're bringing all their shopping now. And you happen to walk in at that moment and you didn't know the code. The fact that they left their bag there enabled you to get into your building without having to find someone what the code is, be able to get in. You don't have a sense of how to talk to that person. They didn't have you in mind. They weren't doing it for you. It happened to be that it benefited you, but there was no intent whatsoever. So it's not true that you should have any hakaras tov to them. We learn that from Moshe Rabbeinu at a different time, not for now. We learn from Mitzrayim, the way that we have to relate to Mitzrayim. They didn't intend to benefit us, but we still benefited by being in their country. But you don't have a sense, emotionally, we're just talking about like what people feel. You don't have a sense of needing to thank them when you know they didn't have any intent to help you out. They were just doing it for themselves. That happened to be you benefited from. Let's take these thoughts one step further. There are five levels of relationship of one person to another person. There's a benefit that a father does for his son. There's a benefit that a boss does for his employee. There's a benefit that a rich person does for a poor person. There's a benefit that friends do for one another, or business partners do for one another. And there's a benefit that a stronger person does for a weaker person. And each one of those emanates from a different emotional place. I'm just going to give a guess now quickly as we go through, but then he's going to go through them all. A father for a son is not even an emotion, it's not even a... It's an inbuilt instinct that a Kodesh Baruch Hu gives. A sense of a father taking care of his son. A master for his employee, there's some sort of already a sense of there of I'm going to benefit if he benefits. Right? He's working for me. If I want to get a lot of good out of this employee, then I better give him bonuses and give him his salary. And then there's a level of a rich person to a poor person where he doesn't have a sense of obligation towards him. He's not his employee. We've entered a relationship in any way. But he wants to do a mitzvah. He wants to get reward in Shemayim. He's deriving a zoo and he helps him out. Then there's a level of where it's a partner, a business partner, where there it's even more you have yourself in mind, where I'll scratch your back, you scratch mine, we'll work together, we'll benefit more each other by helping each other. And then there's a rich person, there's a strong person for a poor person who just feels a sense of guilt. He feels a sense of responsibility. They're like, this person is in trouble, he has mercy on him, and he goes to help him out. That's five different sources from which one would come and help another person and do a favor for another person. Some of them are more l'shem shamayim. Some of them are more less altruistic. V'nei tzuga rishon, ha'ava metiv lebeno, barur shehu mekaven l'to'elet atzmo. Ha'ben hu chelek mi'av, v'nosaf l'kach tzvua ba'av ava azah lebeno. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes the father feel like the son is part of him. When a father does good for his son, the father feels this is an extension of me. This is my family. I'm doing this because I'm essentially, I love myself, and as part of my expanded sense of self, I love my wife, and I love my family, and this is part of who I am. And a person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the nature for a person to want to benefit himself. You eat when you're hungry, in an instinctive way. You sleep when you're tired, in an instinctive way. You rest, and you also learn, because in an instinctive way you want to develop, and you want to mature, and once you see yourself as expanded, not just you, but it's your family, your children, then that all comes part of it. So derech agav, it's a very, very high level. It's not difficult for a person to expand their sense of self to include their wife or their children. In fact, it's more likely than not. There are people who are very selfish, and they don't see their family as part of themselves. A standard way is that a person in a healthy relationship of a marriage and a healthy relationship of a father and a son, he would see his family as part of himself and become, I'm not talking about when the kid grows up and he's already independent, when the kid's younger and their father's still kind of in charge of him, if you like, and he sees it as part of himself. It's a very great miler for that same sense of self to expand beyond the immediate family. There are some people who do. There are some people who, when you tell them that someone they know is sick, it's very personal for them.
and no different if they were here at Sunnistik. Maybe a little bit different, but in the same category as if they were here at Sunnistik, they take it to heart and they daven for that person in the same level, in the same way, because it's an extension of themselves. It's impossible that you would have that level for someone you don't know. And I've never met someone, maybe it's possible, I've never met someone or even heard of someone who hears another Jew is sick, but he doesn't know that Jew at all, and is able to daven for that person on that same level. Maybe there is some great, great person, you know someone like that? Oh yeah. Okay, there we go. That's an example, meaning that's a level that, but the concept of the Chofetz Chaim all the way down to us is that there's a spectrum where you can have a sense of self which expands. And if you work on yourself, you can see, in the same way as before you got married, you didn't see your wife as yourself, but as you get married and you invest and invest and invest in this, that's the right, the more you invest in someone, the more you feel you've given yourself over to them, so you now feel them as part of you. When you invest in your children, because you're investing in them so much, you feel that they're a part of you because you invest so much in them. And the truth is that that could expand other people too. When a Rebbe has Talmidim, and he feels that he invests in his Talmidim, then when his Talmidim aren't doing well, or if they are doing well, and they have a Simcha, then the Rebbe feels it's his Simcha, it's his Talmid, and it's his child. Just now I met a boy from Manchester who got engaged, Moshe Steinberg. He's engaged, and he's getting married in a couple of weeks, and the Simcha that I had on hearing him was so great, because we were very close when he was in Cambridge a couple of years ago, and he's been a couple of years not married. And when I heard, like, you feel it's an extension of yourself, you feel like so happy for that person. And the opposite is true. When you feel someone going through a pain, if it's someone you've invested in, you feel a sense of tzar, a genuine tzar, because you feel it's part of you. Now the truth is that investment doesn't have to be a Rebbe and a Talmud. If you've davened for somebody, if you don't know them directly, but they're someone of your community, then you have that same sense of it. Yeah.
So essentially, a lack of love for someone close to you is like a lack of self-esteem.
No. Self-esteem might be very, very strong.
Or self-love.
Self-love might be strong. It doesn't mean you've expanded it. It's two different things. There's one of how you relate to yourself. That could be very strong. You may love yourself. You have self-esteem. That could be good. There's a separate question of whether you're able to look beyond that self and include others in that sense of self.
You even want to meet your family. Someone I know, you hear about parents who abuse their children or abuse their wives, whatever. That must mean to say, no, they don't love them.
Oh, so you mean if someone has invested in someone else, I mean they've invested in it, they have children, they've brought children into the world, and they don't love them, then they don't recognize that what they've given over to that child is part of them. And they won't necessarily feel a connection to that. They say, I haven't researched this, but I've just heard quotes. It says that only in the human race is there a concept of a relationship, a loving relationship between grandparents and grandchildren. Meaning amongst animals, there is a concept of parents and children they bring into the world having a connection. But amongst animals, there's no connection between the grandparent and the grandparent. Because they don't see how that's part of their investment. They don't see how they gave over to that generation, and the second generation gave over to the third. They don't see that as an extension of themselves. Only by humans where they know the same trait that I instilled in my child. They say, it was very important to you and your family, the trait of emes, honesty, being noble and upright. And you see that your children are handing that trait over to their children. So you feel like, oh, that's an extension of me. Like, I gave that to my sons, they gave that to their sons. So grandparents can have a relationship with their grandchildren in the human race, so they can see how their investment is still being involved. But by animals, they don't see how, you know, the puma taught, trained their children to hunt. They don't see how the next generation puma teaching their children to hunt is an extension of their original training. That's level number one. The level of a father and a son. Ha'av do'eg le'beno ba'ochel o mashke ba'albashe yoter mashu do'eg la'atmo. Sometimes it gets so extreme, the father cares more about his son than he cares about himself. He'll be willing to say, I'll pass on my luxury in order for my son to have luxury. I'll pass on my food for my son to have food. A father is so willing to invest in his son that he's willing to work hard in order that his son will be able to have what he didn't have. Why is that so? Because he doesn't see that it's not him. He sees it's the next stage of him. The father sees in a sense of, I got to a certain level and now my next level is the next generation continuing what I've been investing in. the love the father has the son almost goes beyond the boundaries of himself, and it goes through the explanation, all the investment he's putting in. In a sense he's saying, I'm going to get more worth of my money if I invest in the next generation than myself. Because myself, I'm already getting old. The next generation has a lot more potential there. So therefore, in fact, halakhically, it's interesting. If a father doesn't have money to support himself in learning or his son in learning, what's the halakha? Who should learn? The halakha is the father learns, not the son. The father should support himself in learning and his son won't learn. However, if the son is someone who is clearly on a much greater level, a pikeach, someone whose Torah level is going to be contributing to Klal Yisrael on a bigger level than the father, then it's not like that. Then the father has to cast mavata on his own learning, and he pays for his son's learning. So almost in a way you see that if they're equal, so then you can invest in either, so then you come first. So you go first. But if you see that the investment you're making is much greater for the future, for the next generation, then you rather invest, because you see it's paying off better. The father sees the expenses up. That's not true for some other kids. If it would be that I could learn, and I'm a regular 50-year-old balabok, not a pikeach, and there's some kid who's 50 years old and is going to be the gadol hador, that halacha doesn't apply then. Then I would rather pay for myself to learn and not support him. It's not like we're looking at Klal Yisrael as a whole and saying what's going to benefit Klal Yisrael. I don't have to go on my learning for some kid who's not my child, even if he's going to benefit Klal Yisrael more. But if it's my child, an extension of me, then I do. That's an extension of the father himself coming into the world. That's a level of love which is on a very high level, where one is able to expand their sense of self to include other people as well. Tavua ba'av regesh rachamim v'chemla kalpei banav v'chol zot chayav ben mitzad ha-Torah v'mitzad ha-Seichel l'shoret et aviv v'lachabed otom v'lirah mimenu. So this is the... Sorry, just a minute. This is what a rude son might claim. A rude son would say, why do I have to honor my parents? Hashem made it the nature of the parents to love the child. It's not that my father loved me especially. He didn't go out of his way. It's just the nature that Hashem planted in him. So why do I have to go out of my way to respect and honor my father when he's not doing anything special? He's just doing what's built in nature for him. Even though that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it the natural nature of man to want to have rachamim towards his son, nevertheless the son has, both on the level of Torah and on the level of just simple logic, to respect his father, have awe of his father, kablet avicha, aviv imo, ish av imo v'aviv tirau, shma v'ni musa avicha, v'al tosh torat imecha, lamrot shetev av me'alet oto le'etiv lebeno, einu metiv lebeno mishelo, ela mishel hakel, v'hu rak shaliach la'avir et tovat hakel lebeno. The father is not doing it because he's choosing to do it. He's doing it because HaKadosh Baruch Hu implanted within him the desire to do it. So therefore it works both ways. When the son is honoring the father, he's not honoring the father. He's honoring HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You hear what it's saying? It's amazing. When the father chooses to honor, to benefit the child, he's doing it because Hashem's nature was placed in him. So it's essentially like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is helping the child. Hashem has made the nature of man to help his child. So Hashem's helping. So when a son gets benefit from his mother or his father, that benefit that's coming is just a shaliach, it's just a conduit, it's just a pipeline, where it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself directly helping this person. So when a person goes to respect his parents, it's irrelevant whether the parent does a better job or a lower job. It's not the point. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the parents who you're respecting. Kabedet avicha v'demecha is essentially kabedet Hashem. Through who? Through the way you received it. If you receive it through a Rebbe, you honor the Rebbe. If you receive it through a parent, then you respect the parent. But it's always honoring HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's amazing, isn't it? That's the Chobot and Chobot. Hu rak shaliach la'avir torat ha-ben.
So why is there a specific mitzvah respecting your parents?
That's the main conduit that HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No, it's respecting HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But how do you send Hashem to the main pipeline that he brings it? Who's the main pipeline that he brings it through? To your parents. To your parents. Now, you can't catch someone on this. Let's say there would be a father who would never respect his son and never support his son, then the halacha still applies. Sometimes the reasoning behind the halacha and the boundaries of halacha don't always fall in line. Because if you would do that, then, you know, you would have to change the halacha of every family.
So they make halachic guidelines, the mindset behind it, but the halachic guidelines still stay in place. There could be, there'll be a particular father who mistreats his son, and there'll still be on some level an obligation to treat the respect the father. But the principle behind it is that you're supposed to act on the protocol to the main pipeline, which is...
Yeah, but, I mean, even that, like, when you... Even the point is, when you come to your parents, to actually have my parents, to tell you, not what it's wrong, isn't it, like, there's lots of it, like, the idea is not to give the gospel to them, and this is the gospel, to give the gospel to them, to give the gospel to them, to give the gospel to them, to give
This is a huge question and a very, very important question. All the mitzvahs that are ben adam l'chaveiro, there's two levels of keeping them. And there's also an unhealthy level of keeping them. This is what you're alluding to. There's a healthy level where... Two levels. You'll see. Two healthy levels. There's one level where you do it out of the will of Hashem. Because Hashem commands you, that's why you do it. I'm going to come back to that one. I'm leaving that on hold for a moment. There's another level where you do it because it just makes sense. It's just natural. Someone's in need, you help them out. Your parents help you, you give them respect. It's natural. Either of those taken to extreme is unhealthy. If a person would say, I'm only doing this because it makes sense to me. And Hashem is not even a factor here. It's not part of it. I will do it without Hashem and despite Hashem, which is not the issue. That's unhealthy if you're one extreme. If we do it to the other extreme, if you would say the child's crying and you would say, I don't care about this child, but Hashem has commanded me to help him, so I will go and help him because it's my obligation to help him. That's very unhealthy. It's very unhealthy. So both extremes are unhealthy. The healthy balance is where you fully have both. And I'm going to repeat this point many times over the year. And I may have probably said it Elul already. I'm sure I said it a lot last year. But there's a mistaken concept that when you have a spectrum, whatever it is, there are many, many, many spectrums with one extreme and another extreme. There's a mistaken concept which is there's a golden path in the middle, which is the correct way, which was a compromise between the two paths. Meaning don't be overly this way, don't be overly that way, be somewhere kind of average in the middle. About that, the Kotzker Rebbe says, only the horses walk in the middle of the road. But one extreme or another extreme by itself is also obviously off. You're extremely generous that you give to someone who's an addict, or you're extremely stingy that you only give to someone who's obviously in need. Right, there are many, many examples of the spectrum. This is one obvious example. Then obviously either extreme is inappropriate. So what is the Torah's idea of the golden mean? What is the Rambam's concept in Shmoneh Parakim where he says about that the middle path is the correct path? It doesn't mean being average. It doesn't mean compromising. Rather it means that you have a holding on each side of the spectrum. You're not bound by one side, you're not bound by the other side, but you're able to fully use each. And you know when it's more appropriate to go over one way more, and you're able to go over there because you're in control. You're able to know when to go over to the other side because now that's the right way to behave and you're able to use that other side. And in a normal scenario, you're able to fully use both. And it doesn't contradict. And specifically here, I'm going to use it in our context. If you do something only because of the will of Hashem, but you deny that there's a human nature that Hashem has given you to do it, if it's a ben adam l'chaveiro, then you're not being true to what Hashem built into you. Help me out here.
7:14.
Okay, I will, it's Maariv now, and it's very important to me that people have a chance to wash their hands and get in time for Baruch. So, B'li Neder, we will continue from this point tomorrow.